Hi, this is Ann Cavera with another episode of Speeding Past 80, and I have Betty Boswell as my guest today. Betty has been my critique partner now for 5 or 6 years. We're not sure how long. She has published many books, and she has helped me along the way with a lot of encouragement and support. I wanted to talk to her today about her writing journey.
And later on, we'll talk about Anne's writing journey,
too. Or we may end up talking about them both together. I wanted especially to talk to Betty about her new book, I Love Mom, Our Hero, because it's a book that works on many levels. The dad is a vet, and he's wounded, and I'll let Betty tell you a little more about it.
All right, so it works as a Mother's Day book, if you're looking for something along that line, but it also works as a book that goes through a whole year of healing, and it is loosely based on Proverbs 31, the last few verses which talk about the qualities of a woman, a godly woman, and I use those qualities within the personalities of the mother and the daughter who is telling this story. If you know the verses really well, you will see that the woman and her daughter both display the qualities of a godly woman. As I was writing this, it took a long time. It was one of those that I wrote and got negative critiques on. Then I rewrote, and then I kind of shelved it for a while and didn't use it. And then I started publishing novels with a Christian publisher and mentioned the children's book aspect. And they at first they weren't sure, but then they decided, yes, we can do children's books. And I signed a contract without really having that book rewritten. So I worked and started just drawing. I said, I've got the draw this stuff. And then I got to thinking, because our church sends out boxes to soldiers full of treats, particularly at holidays, but also throughout the year. And I thought, what if the mother and daughter have to deal with a wounded veteran as he is healing? And so that's included in the story. And the outline of the story is each month something new happens for the family, and the daughter and the mom are all doing things, exhibiting the godly woman. And then the daughter, in a children's storybook today, the editors want the children to play a major role. So the daughter has to figure out something she can do that will help both her dad and people in his situation. So you have to check out the book to see more about that.
And did you mention you illustrated it too?
Yes, did illustrate, which helps in today's market if you are both an author and an illustrator.
Yes, it really does. I know you work on more than one book at a time. How do you manage that? I seem to be able to work on one book, and that's it.
I think I like the variety. I might get frustrated with one book and then switch to the other. And when I've switched to the other, then I can come back to the one that was frustrating me. Mm-hmm. And continue with it. I think being a teacher and a mom and a grandma, you have to switch gears all the time. And just whatever is a priority is going to get a little more focus. So if the picture book has a due date of coming out soon, then it's going to get the priority. If the novel that I'm working on has a due date, or I just want to get it in and get it done with, then it takes a priority. At the moment, I am not under contract with anything, but I am focusing on something really big. The ACFW Children's Writing Group Kid Lit chapter is going to have a contest, and it is a major undertaking for those behind the scenes. And thank goodness God has blessed us with a couple of techies that are doing a lot of the work. But I'm the one that's the guinea pig. I go in and pretend like I'm submitting. But it's priorities. You have to set a priority and decide what's important this week or this day.
Now, tell me what ACFW stands for. I know, but a lot of our listeners might not.
American Christian Fiction Writers. Right. And it was originally a group that just wrote romance books for Christian adults. And then they branched out to fiction so that they have all genres of fiction within the group. And a year ago, we said, why don't you have a kids group? Okay. And I was one of the people that spearheaded that group, and we got it approved, and we've been in business about a year, and now we're having a contest.
That's great. I may enter that contest.
Wonderful, wonderful.
I know that you send out things frequently, and I have a problem sending things out. I should do that more often. How do you handle the rejection? Because in spite of the fact that you've published a lot of books, you also get rejections.
Yes, and I'm one of these people that hangs on to everything I've written, and I will rewrite it, or I will have a plan B. If that publisher doesn't want it, then I know somebody that I can rewrite it a certain way and possibly get in with them. And if not, who knows? Maybe even self-publish if that came to that, if I couldn't find an editor. But I've got a really good critique partner who keeps it in pretty good shape. So.
Well, you know, it sounds like you're saying that you keep things in the mail. You don't sit on them once they come back. You get it out again.
Get it out again, or let it sit for a bit and then open it back up and rewrite it.
Sure, because there's nothing to say that you can't be rewriting while it's in the mail on an editor's desk.
That's true.
I struggle with balance. How do you juggle caring for grandkids, being involved in your husband's work? He's a pastor. And you're writing, and now you're managing this ACFW contest.
Oh, I think it's trying not to... I've let it happen to me that I've gotten overwhelmed. But I think the important thing to say is I need that balance. And I actually chose balance as my word for the year. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how much I was going to have to really use that. But I think you just have to say, right now I'm concentrating on this and I'm not going to worry about that. You know, if it's Sunday morning, it's all about preparing the music for church and getting ready for church and going to church. If it's a day where I know that I need to exercise, I'm going to exercise, and that other stuff's going to get put to the background. If I know that I need to write, I'll do that, but I won't worry about the other stuff. I think God says you give the stuff to Him and let it go.
So it sounds as though you have a routine and you compartmentalize so that you get things done in different areas. Mm-hmm. I need a housework area. That's hardest for me. What would you have done differently in your late life writing journey?
Oh, I think the biggest thing would have been go to workshops early. Okay. I wrote many things without having gone to workshops. And then as I went to more and more workshops, I learned and got better, and also having a critique partner. Anne's been a valuable part of everything I've put out. I also have some critiquers online that I meet with from time to time. I haven't given them anything for 2 weeks because of things that have been going on in my life. But as far as what would I have done differently, I think that it's important to study. If you don't have the money for a workshop, buy a book.
And you know, even online YouTube, if you put in query letters, you can get dozens of YouTube videos on how to write a query letter. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, we have free resources. I think it's really important to make use of those and learn what you can. Yes. You don't really have to go get a master's of fine arts in writing or creative writing. It's nice if you can do that, but a lot of us can't. And I think you have to just look around, go to the library, check out books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now it's time to turn the tables on Anne.
I want to talk about my book, Ride a Summer Wind, that has finally come out after 44 years. 44 years. Okay. I started this when my older daughter was about 6 or 7. We realized she had a gift for music. I thought, well, I'm just going to write a story about a girl who loves music. And this story has evolved. It's been in a bureau drawer most of the time, but I found a good traditional publisher last year, Elk Lake Publishing. They were wonderful to work with, and the book came out last month, Ride a Summer Wind.
It's a good one. I have really enjoyed helping her through the process of critiquing and going over it, and I've seen a lot of changes as we went along, so it's an exciting book.
Well, I've got some good reviews and endorsements. Look it up on Amazon if you like. If anybody wants 10 or more for a book club or a classroom, those can be ordered at a discount through Elk Lake Publishing. But I started writing also because I really wanted to say some things to my children and grandchildren about life and about forgiveness and loss and hope. I wanted to say some things about steadfast love and that life goes on even beyond what we can see. And I thought, well, you know, if I just sit down and say, now we're going to talk, you know, they're going to be asleep or scrolling through phones or something. And I thought if I could put this in an adventure story, something that would be a really good story that would hold their interest, then I could say the things I wanted to say at the same time. So that's Ride a Summer Wind.
And yeah, and the title has an interesting history. When I first started working with Anne, it was had different titles. So would you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it involves bluegrass music, and originally the main character was a banjo player, and I had that title for a long time, and then a monarch butterfly is woven throughout the story, so I called it Butterflies and Banjos, which really doesn't have much zip to it. And then the story evolved to the point where I gave it to 10 readers just to read and see what they thought. Well, two of those 10 assumed it was an African-American story, which would have been fine, but it's not my story to tell. And so I had Buddy play a mandolin, and the story just worked much better with that because of other characters I could weave in. So she's a mandolin player. And she was actually dumped on her grandfather's front porch when she was 6 years old. Her mother just came up, handed her off, told Grandpa her name is Apple Dumpling, and runs back down the steps to her car. And he's shouting after her, Apple Dumpling, Apple Dumpling, what kind of name is that for a child? And she says, Buddy says, or the girl says, much to my everlasting relief, he called me Buddy. And that's all she's ever been called. So the story is really the relationship between Buddy and her grandfather. And in a way, it's a shout out to the 2.5 to 3 million grandparents who are caring for their children on their own. Mm-hmm. And those grandparents sometimes have less resources. They have health issues. And yet they're doing their best to love and care for these children of their sons and daughters. So I wanted to give them a shout out.
Wonderful. So I know that it's set in Indiana, and it has some historical things, which my family loves history. Is there a reason that you placed it in southern Indiana?
Yes. Well, we lived in southern Indiana for 35 years, and we sometimes visited Lincoln's boyhood home, the farm where he spent his growing up years in Spencer County. And I thought, well, that would be interesting if I could weave Lincoln into the story somehow. And so that proved to be a very good setting because there are things in the story that are common in that area, like caves. There are a lot of caves in Spencer County, some explored, some not. Abraham Lincoln in the story, I think, gave it depth that it wouldn't have had otherwise. It made a lot of things happen that I thought added interest. Mm-hmm. So I was glad to weave that in.
Good. A little mystery with Lincoln, but we're not going to tell you about that. You'll have to read the book.
Yes. Yeah. The story opens when Buddy gives away an old vase that was just on their kitchen shelf. She wanted a gift for her teacher on the last day of school. She didn't think anything of it. This was just something that they put unpaid bills in. She came home from school that afternoon, and her grandfather's waiting for her on the porch, and he is absolutely furious.
And we're not going to tell you anymore.
I know.
You talked about my work and how I worked. You really worked on this book, and I want you to address the word determination.
Right. Well, I became invested in this book. My heart, my mind became invested in it. And you know, it's like a child that you raise and you want to see go out in the world and do well. You don't give up. You just don't give up. So this book baby of mine, I didn't give up. And when things would slow down in my life from time to time, I would take it out and I would revise it. I sent it out a few times. It was rejected. It wasn't picked up. But it just makes me so happy that it's out in the world now. So there you are. We have two books out.
Yes, we do.
Betty has I Love My Mom, My Hero, and mm-hmm. I have Ride a Summer Wind. Take a look at them on Amazon if you like. And thanks for joining me. Thank you, Betty, for being here.
Thank you for the opportunity to celebrate with you.
Thank you. This is this week's episode of Speeding Past 80. Thanks a lot.